Okay, good afternoon slash evening, everybody. Tomorrow's daf is Gittin Daf Nun Vav. We are holding on Daf Nun Hey on Beis. We are at Rabbi Yochanan Maidich Siv Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf Yomi Share each and every day. So today's Daf is about one topic, pretty much, and that is the Churban. Since the Mishnah spoke about a particular halacha that was Noheg during the Melchama of Titus against Yerushalayim, so the Gemara is going to tell us a lot of things about the Churban. So in a certain sense, this is a great Daf Yomi coincidence that we get to learn this during the period of 3 weeks. In another sense, we pray that this should be a happy form of where we will not be limited to learning about the Churban come this Tishba of Be'ezros Hashem. So the Churban Agadita is framed by three stories, only one of which we get to today. And that is the story of Kamtza Ubar Kamtza, and then everything that happens in the aftermath of that story. So let's get right to it. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Maidichsev Asher de Mefachit Amru Umaksha Libo Yipo Bera'a. What does the Pasuk mean in Sefer Mishlei when it says, fortunate is a person who's always worried that his actions shouldn't cause some sort of terrible thing to happen in the future? Oh, before I forget, someone emailed me yesterday or texted me yesterday that at the very last thing we mentioned yesterday about the Shalosh Gezeros Gazu, that the Romans made three Gezeros in terms of their attitudes at different times toward killing Jews. So the first Gezero was that anyone who doesn't kill a Jew when they have an opportunity to do so is going to get killed. The third Gezero was that if someone does kill a Jew, they get killed. So but the middle Gezero I translated yesterday as anyone who kills a Jew gets rewarded with four zuz. So that is not the simple reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is called the katil laisi arbazuzi, that there is a four zuz fine for killing a Jew. That was the middle reading. But I knew that someone was going to say what I said, even though I was just wrong, but you know, in terms of the reading of the Gemara, but I looked it up. So the Tosfos Rid apparently has a girsa that nesiv lei arbazuzi, that we give him four zuz, and that's the Tosfos Rid's girsa. So the Tosfos Rid says I was right, even though I was wrong. And the Or Sameach in Hilchot Zeilav Aveda says that Tosfos Rid's girsa is the more authoritative girsa. So I was more right being wrong than I am when I'm right. So that was pretty good. Okay, so now the Gemara tells us the following. So what is the pasuk Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid Umaksha Libo Yipol Bira'a, that someone who hardens his heart and is not worried about what's going to happen in the future is going to fall in the evil that he causes himself. So three stories. Akamtu Bar Kamtza Charvi Yerushalayim. Because of the story that happened with Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed, as we're about to see in today's daf. We'll see in tomorrow's daf, because of the story that happened with the Tarnagol and Tarnagolas, the city of Tor Malka, which is Har HaMelech, was destroyed. And we'll see that again, not in today's daf, but in tomorrow's daf. And then Asaka Derisbach, Chorv Beitar. And also in tomorrow's daf, because of a Maisa that happened with a panel of a chariot, the city of Beitar was destroyed. So let's get right to the Kamtza Bar Kamtza story. Kamtza Bar Kamtza of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of the story of Kamtza Bar Kamtza. Duhu Gavra Derach Me Kamtza, because there was a fellow who was very good friends with someone named Kamtza. They say that the Gemara writes that he had a good friend named Kamtza. The Achronim write, the Yismach Moshe, is quoted over here in the Masifta, because the Avera that caused the Churban was Sinas Chinam. Not that they were Mevatel V'Yahavtel Re'ah, they were mekayim that with their friends. They were mekayim v'avtal re'echa kamocha with their friends. But it's that sinas chinam that, in addition to being very loving to those who were close to them, they despise those who were not close to them. So it's not that people lacked for loving relationships. Adrabah, sometimes those loving relationships were the cause of getting cliquey and excluding other people, and that caused the sinas chinam, or gave more power for them to be able to practice sinas chinam. The person's adversary was Bar Kamtza. Savitzu Udasa, he made a Su'uda, Amrle Lashame. He said to his Mesharis, Zil Aisili Kamtza, go bring Kamtza to my Su'uda. So Azul, the Mesharis, went, Aisile Bar Kamtza. And instead of inviting Kamtza, he invited the enemy. He invited Bar Kamtza. The Marsha writes that it's not a stretch to say that Kamtza and Bar Kamtza are father and son. And that's why he made the mistake between them. And Bar Kamtza thought that since he he was this guy was good friends with his father. Maybe he wants to make shalom with him. It must be awkward when he gets together with the father if he hates the son. So that's why he had reason to believe. Meaning, why would you assume that that your worst enemy is inviting you to a seuda? Shouldn't he have realized the error right away? So the Marsha says, now you understand why he didn't realize the error, because it was Taka, his father's best friend. So he thought the fellow was reaching out to him to try to make shalom with him. So the Baal Suda came, Ashkechei Davi Yosef. So he saw Bar Kamtza, his sworn enemy, sitting there at the Suda. Amalei, so he said to him, Michti, Hau Gavra Baal Devavadu Gavrahu, you are my enemy, my Bayisacha, what are you doing in my Suda? Kum Puk, get up and get out. Amalei, so Bar Kamtza said, Hol Vasai, well, wait a second, since I already came to the Suda, Shafkan, leave me alone, let me stay here. You will not have to spend a penny on me. I'll give you all the cost of whatever it is that I eat. So Amalei, the Balabai said, "Lo, I absolutely do not agree to that. It drives me nuts to even see you here, even if you pay for what you eat." So Amalei, so Bar Kamtza said to the guy, "So I'll tell you what, even Lachtame Palga de Suda Sech, I'll pay for half of the Suda." Right? It's a Mechutin's dream that the other side said, "No problem, I'm going to pay for 50%. So he said, "I'll pay for half of the Suda." So Amalei, the Balabai said, "Lo, I'm not going to be masking that you're going to remain at my Suda at all, even if you pay for half of the Suda." So Amalei, so Bar Kamtza said, "I'll tell you what, even look to make Kula Suda Sech, I'll make it that it's not even your Suda anymore. I'll pay for the whole Suda." So Amalei, "Lo," he said, "I'm not masking. You cannot be here." So Nakte Biyade, he grabbed the Balabai, grabbed him by the hand with his hands, and he picked him up and he chucked him out of the Suda. So Amar, so this Bar Kamtza said, after being humiliated in such a way, "Hold of Yasir Rabbanon of Alo Machube," since the Rabbanon were sitting right there at the Suda and they didn't do anything about it, they just stood there, they just stood idly by and didn't do anything about it. You know, there's a Shema Mina Kanichlu. It must be that they're okay with this. Meaning, how could they watch such a thing happen and not do something about it? Right? We learned now from this past week's Parshas Pinchas, that Pinchas was blessed with Brisi Shalom. What he did seemed to be an act that was very much not Shalom. This past Shabbos in Camp Keli, Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky was here. So on Friday night on Lel Shabbos, he was talking at a tish, and this was his vart, that sometimes you think that shalom just means laying low and not doing anything and not saying anything. Sometimes shalom means being aggressive when you're standing up for somebody who's being picked on, when you're standing up for somebody who's being unfairly treated. So that's also shalom. Now, why taka were the chachamim not mocha? So the Marsha writes, because they didn't have the opportunity to be mocha, because the Rishayim were treated with such respect in that generation. There was so much chanifa going on in that generation. Chassam Sofer says, no, they were down the Kaf Schus, that it must be that the Baal Suda has a really good reason to not want Bar Kamtza there. The Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel that someone who sees a Dvar Erva B'chaveru, and you see it you see it by yourself, so mitzvah l'sanoso. So they didn't make a macha. They figured there must be that he saw a Dvar Erva about Bar Kamtza, and therefore he had a mitzvah l'sanoso. So anyway, but Bar Kamtza says, the Rabbanim were all sitting there, they saw the bizyonos that I had to suffer, and they did nothing about it. Ezel ve'echubu kurtza be'malka. I'm going to be malshin them to the melech. I'm going to go tell on them to the melech. So Azal Amrle the Kesar Mordabach Yudai. So Bar Kamtza went and he informed to the Kesar that the Jews are rebelling against him. So Amrle the Kesar said, "Me, I'm not going to accept just such a statement. You got to prove it. Who says that they're rebelling against me?" So Amrle, so Bar Kamtza said to the Kesar, "Shadluhu korbana. Why don't you try sending a korban that they should bring in the Beis Hamikdash? Chazazi makrivan lei, and you'll see if they're makriv such a korban. If they're not makriv it, it's going to be my raya that they're rebelling against you." So Azal Shadu Biyadei Eglatilta, he sent the choicest animal. Eglatilta is always considered to be the choicest, the nicest, the best animal, the softest, most delectable meat. It's Tilta means, according to many of the Rishonim, Shlishi Li'imo. It's the third born. That a behemoth, when it's young and it has its firstborn child, is not strong enough to produce a really good an offspring with really good meat. It's not a child, it's an animal, but an offspring with really good meat. By the time it's older, it's too weak to produce offspring with really good meat. But in between, in the middle child, the middle offspring that the animal produces is the most delightful. delectable of the two. So of the three, rather. So that's the Eglat Tilta decided to send. So Bahadi Tukasi, while it was on the way to the Beis Hamikdash, Shad Beimuma Bar Kamtza put a mum benivs vasayim on the upper lip of the animal. Va'amrilan, some say bedukin shabayin in the eyelid of the animal. Dukta didon have a muma ledidu lav mumahu. But the trick was he dafka put the mum in a place where the Jewish people consider it a mum, but the goyim or makriv a korban would never consider that a mum because it's not mechusar eiver in any way. So they would have no problem bringing on one of their bamos such an animal. So the king would never understand why they would reject such an animal. So some rabbanon lekruve, the rabbanon said, we better be makriv this animal even though it has a mum mishum shlom malchus because of shlom malchus. Magen Avraham writes based on our sugya in Siman Tav Reish Nun Vav that you're allowed to violate a los asay for emas hamalchus because you see the rabbanon were considering doing it for emas hamalchus. Prima Gadim, however, says that's only when it's safik pikuach nefesh, not just tam emas hamalchus that you're trying to keep a good relationship. It's got to be safik pikuach nefesh. So Amr Luhu Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas, Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas said, no, we cannot bring this korban. We have to be choshish if we do that. Yomru balimum and krevi lagabim mizbech. People are going to think that you're allowed to bring a balimum on the mizbech. They're not going to realize that we did this for shalom malchus, and they're going to allow bringing balimum on the mizbech in general. So it sounds like Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas agreed that meikra did. You bring a korban mishum shalom malchus, even if it's a balimum. But he said that his concern was the PR nightmare. Now wait a second. If for shalom malchus we're able to be docha the actual iser, and you're allowed to bring a balimum, so you would think kol shekein you'd be allowed to be docha the mistaken impression of the actual iser, which seems to be a lot less for the sake of shalom malchus. So Rabbi Chanan writes in Kovitz Aros that any lav d'oraisa is nitcha mipnei pikuach nefesh, and therefore there is no iser whatsoever. However, if people are going to learn that a balmum could be brought on the mizbech shalom makom pikuach nefesh, then they're going to actually violate an iser. Meaning the misconception is going to lead to an actual iser. The what they're going to do right now mishum shalom malchus, what they were prepared to do, is not an actual iser. It's an iser that goes away because of the sake of shalom malchus. The other mahalik that the achronim have is that you're allowed to violate isur mishum shalom malchus, but you're not allowed to engage in ziyuv hatorah mishum shalom malchus, and that will be a total misunderstanding of the Torah itself. We have to honor the Torah itself. So sabr l'mitzalei. So the next option was maybe we should just kill Bar Kamtza d'lo'lezalema so that he not go back to the case or report what happened. So Amar Rabbi Zecharia, the same Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkula said, no, we can't kill him because yomru matul mum kachim yahare. They're going to say that if you're matul mum and kachim, because that's after all he did wrong to this point was to be matul mum and kachim, they're going to think that you chayv misa for that. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan commented on vasnusa shel Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkula's hechrivas beisenu v'sarfas hechalenu v'glisanu me'artzenu, that it was the anivas of Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkula's that he didn't step up and actually kill Bar Kamtza that destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, burnt the Heichal, and caused our Gullus. The Maritz Chayis writes that it was another Yaseira that caused the Chorban, because Minadin, they're allowed to bring the carbon that's a Baal Mon because it's Sakana for Klal Yisrael. They could have killed Bar Kamtza because he was a Rodef and Abba Lahar Gachash came Lahar Go, but because of this extra Anivus that Rabbi Zecharia ben Avkulas had, he didn't want to paskin such a weighty issue. And when he was the one, and clearly he's the one that everyone was looking to paskin, because every argument he made was immediately accepted by all the other abundance. So you see that anivus is the greatest midah, but even the greatest midah, when misused and when misapplied, could lead to very, very terrible things. I think that Maritz Chiyus is one of the only times in all of Igros Moshe there are Moshe quotes in Maritz Chiyus. I think he quotes this Maritz Chiyus in the Tshuva, that a person has to have the confidence to paskin a shayla when that's his station in life and the people are relying on him. So anyway, the Gemara tells what happened because of this. So when the Kesar saw that the Jews aren't bringing his karban, he understood that Bar Kamtza was correct and the Jews are rebelling against him. So Shadri Levayli Neron Kesar, he sent Neron Kesar to go fight a war against the Jewish people. Kikasi, when Neron Kesar got close to Yerushalayim, he decided he was going to make a simon to see whether he'd be successful. So Shadagir Lemizrach, he shot an arrow toward the east, Asav Nafal Yerushalayim, and it landed in Yerushalayim. Limarav Asav Nafal Yerushalayim, to the west, and it landed in Yerushalayim. Milabaruchas Hashemayim, Asav Nafal Yerushalayim. In all four directions he shot the arrow, and no matter which direction he shot it in, it landed in Yerushalayim. So Rashi writes, that the Marshal rather asks, well, wait a second, why does he have to shoot an arrow in all four directions? One of the directions was actually the direction of Yerushalayim. So how would that one tell him anything? Meaning just shooting the three directions that are not the direction of Yerushalayim, and that should tell you something. So the Marsha says he was really far from Yerushalayim. It would have been unnatural for any of the arrows to land in Yerushalayim. Some of the other Acharim say he was at a funny angle to Yerushalayim, so it shouldn't have landed in Yerushalayim in any of the four directions. He shot it due west, due east, due south, due north, and really Yerushalayim was not exactly in a particular direction from him. So anyway, Amar Lei Yinuka Pesuk L'Pesukech, he went over to a child and said, tell me a pasuk that you learned today. So Amar Lei Benasati Yisukmasi Bedom Yad Ami Yisrael, that I'm going to take my vengeance against Edom by Am Yisrael. So from that, those simanim, he understood that he's going to be successful, Yerushalayim is going to fall in his hands, but then Hashem is going to take vengeance against him through the Jewish people. So Amar, he said, Hashem wants to destroy his bias. The Beis HaMikdash is called Hashem's bias, right? That's the difference between a Beis HaKnesses, which is a Mikdash Ma'at, and a Beis HaMikdash, which is a Mikdash. That the Beis HaMikdash, they're both meeting places between us and the Ribbono Shel, but the Beis HaMikdash is Hashem's bias. A Beis HaKnesses is our bias where Hashem visits us. But I see that Hashem wants to clean his hands from any, from any guilt, but through me, by punishing me as being the vehicle through which this happens. So Arak va'azel v'egayer. So right away he went and he was megayer. V'nafak minei Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir, the great Tana, Rabbi Meir descended from him. The Rambam in the Akdama to the Arach Hazaka says that Rabbi Meir was the son of a Ger Tzedek. Sounds like the Rambam understood v'nafak minei means literally the next generation. That Rabbi Meir was the son of this Niron Kesar. However, the in the Otzer Gonim says Rav Meir was Mibnei Benosav Shel Niron Kesar. He was a descendant in later generations that came through Niron Kesar's daughter. But either way, Rav Meir descended from him. So Ashadu Levi Aspasinus Kesar. So then they had to find someone else to fight the war. So they sent Aspasinus Kesar to fight the war. Asavitzarala at Tlashne. So he made a siege against Yerushalayim for 3 years. Havbahanatal Satiri. There were three rich people in Yerushalayim at the time, Nakdim, Ben Gurion, Ben Kaldosvua, Umen Sitisakeses. Those were their names. Nakdim and Ben Gurion had that name because Shenakta Lo Chama Bavuro, that the sun shone on his account. The story is told in Maseches Tainus that he was he owed 12 mayanos of mayim for to a hegmon that they needed for the elder regalim, and he said, if I'll be chayiv to give this to you if it doesn't rain by a particular point in time, I'll give you shtei mesrei kikaros kesef. When the zman came and it hadn't yet rained, and Rosh Shas Mincha, he went and he davened and it started to rain. So the Hegemon said, yeah, it rained, but it's too late. It was after Shkia already. So he davened again, the clouds parted, and the sun was still shining. So the sun pierced through the clouds because of him, in order to save him that money. Ben Kalba Savua, the reason Ben Kalba Savua was called, that's called Nichus Beis Kshurav Kekelev, Yotzei Kshu Savea. Anyone who came into his house hungry like a dog left when they were satiated. And Ben Sitzakesis was so called, Shaisitziso, Negreris Algabik Sassos. He was so wealthy that instead of his tzitzis dragging on the floor, there were cushions under his tzitzis so that it would drag on them, it would rest on them instead of going through the bizayon of dragging on the floor. Igadami Shaisakista Mutelis being Gedoli Romi. Others say that no, his chair when it was among the Gedoli Romi, that they were mechabed him to sit among them at the dais. So one of these rich people said, you know what, there's a siege around Yerushalayim, no one can get in or out, I will provide, I have enough here to provide wheat and barley for the people. And the other one said, I'll provide all the wine, the salt, and the oil that's necessary. And one of them said, I'll provide all the wood that's necessary. And the Rabbanan were Meshabeach, the one were praised, the one who offered to give the wood, because that's the greatest sacrifice. Would give all of the keys to all of his warehouses to his Mesharis who he trusted, bar mi d'tzivi, except for the keys to the warehouse that had the wood. Damar of Chista, to use one otzar of chitin, you need 60 otzros of eitzim to light the ovens that are going to bake the bread that you use that chitin to make. So these Ashirim were so rich, they had enough to provide 21 years worth of food for Yerushalayim. Havu hani b'rioni, but there were these people that were these thugs that were in Yerushalayim. Amrlu Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said to the Brionim, Nefel t'navid shalom b'adayu, let's go out and make shalom with the Romans. Lo shafkinu, the Brionim didn't allow them to leave the city in order to make shalom with the Romans. So Amrlu hu, the Brionim said to the Chum, Nefel t'navid karva b'adayu, let's go fight with the Romans. So Amrlu Rabbanan, lo mustayim milsa, they said, what are you, nuts? We're not going to be able to win a war against the Romans. They're a well-trained army. We're a bunch of yeshiva bachrim. What are you talking about? So kamu kalinu lahanu amburi dechiti usari vava kafna. These baryonim, because they didn't get their way and they wanted to sort of force the Rabbanan's hand, they burnt down all these warehouses of supplies. And they figured, you know, what better way to motivate the troops than to give them no option, because there is no option of remaining as things are. So Marta bas baitus atir to do shleim avia. Things got so bad that and the famine got so awful that Marta bas baitus, who was the greatest, the richest woman in all of Yerushalayim, shadarti l'shlucha va'armalei zil aisili smida, sent her shliach to the market and said, buy me some fine flour. Adazel is davin. By the time he got there, all the fine flour was sold out. Asa amala smida leka chivarti ika. He said, look, there's no more fine flour, but there's still white flour. So amalei zil aisili. So she said, okay, get me white flour. Adazel is davin. By the time he got to the market, that was sold out. Asa amalei came back and he reported to her, chivarti leka gushkara ika. There's no more white flour, but there's some coarse flour. So amalei zil aisili. Go get me that. Adazel is davin. By the time he got there, that was sold out. Asa amalei gushkara leka kimcha desaari ika. There's only barley flour. So amalei said, zil aisili. Go get that for me. Adazel is davin. By the time he got there, that too was sold out. And the obvious kasha the Achronim ask is, shouldn't he just have bought something so he can come back with something instead of keeping on checking with her each and every time? But anyway, so she was starving now. So she was going without shoes on. Let me go out and scrounge around and see if I could find any food. She stepped in animal excrement, umesa, and she was such an istinus that she died because her bare foot stepped in animal excrement. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said the pasuk in the Tocha about her that she was so delicate that this caused her to die. Ikata Amri, others say that no, that wasn't her death. That wasn't the cause of death. Rather, grogros Rabbi Tzadok achla vitniso mesa. She ate the grogros, the dried out fig that Rabbi Tzadok had, and because of that she died. What was the story with the grogros of Rabbi Tzadok? Rabbi Tzadok asked Rabban Shnei B'taniso de lo lech of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Tzadok fasted for 40 years that Yerushalayim shouldn't get destroyed. Ki ava achl midi, so when he ate anything, he was so malnourished. You could see the food going down from outside his body. And when he finished his fasting and he wanted to strengthen himself, they brought him dried figs, but he couldn't swallow it because it was too heavy for him because he wasn't used to food. So he was only able to suck out the juices of the fig, and then he threw the shell or the skin of the fig away. So that's what Marta bas baitus found, that shell, that skin of the fig, and that's what she ate, the sucked out skin of the fig. So when she was dying, she took out all of her gold and silver, she threw it in the shuk, Amra, and she said, what do I need all this for? That's part of the nevuah that they're going to send out, they're going to throw out their own kesef and zahav into the streets. As Abba Sikra, Esh Bar Yon Yerushalayim, Abba Sikra was the person who was in charge of this group of Bar Yonim that burnt down all of the supplies. Barach is Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He happened to be a nephew of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So Shalach Le Tabitzina Le Gabai. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, come to me quietly in private. You don't have to let any of your friends know that you're meeting with me. So Asa, he came to his uncle Amalei. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said to him, how long are you going to do this for? Not to allow us to go to reach out to the Romans and try to make peace? You're killing all the Jews with starvation. So Amalei, so Abba Sikra said, look, I get it, but my Avid, what am I supposed to do? I've built a monster that's stronger than I am now. If I'm going to tell them that we should make peace, they're going to kill me because they're going to view me as a deserter. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said to Abba Sikra, let's find an Eitzah, the Epoch, that I should be able to leave the city. Maybe we'll be able to do something, to negotiate something. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, I have an idea. Make pretend that you're very ill. We'll send out on, you know, on all the WhatsApp chats that everyone should say Tehillim for the Goyim and Tzadik, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, and everyone's going to be davening for you. So, and the whole Tzibur will come and ask how you're doing and whatever. And we'll bring something that's very foul-smelling, like a nevela. And we'll put it in your coffin so that it will smell. And we'll say that you died. And then the Talmidim will come to carry your mita. And we'll only allow the Talmidim. We're not going to allow anyone else. Because anyone else who carries it is going to realize that you're light. Because everyone knows that a living person is lighter than a dead person. That's what they call dead weight. Because when a person doesn't have the ability to adjust their weight, to balance themselves when they're tilted in one direction or another, so it's much heavier to lift. So Avadachi, so Yochum and Zakkai did exactly the Eitzah of his nephew. So Nichlas for Rabbi Eliezer Mitzal Echad, Rabbi Shua Mitzal Acher. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua came to carry his mitah. Kimatul Pischa, when they got to the entrance, to the gate of the city. So by the Mitkara, the Baryonim, who didn't want to let him out, were nervous that maybe he was really alive. They wanted to stab him to make sure he's dead. So Abaluhu Abasikra said, no, you can't do that. Yomru, they're going to say, Rabban Dakru, that they've really gone off the deep end, that they're going to stab a dead body. So Bala of the great rabbi. So Bala Mitchafe. So they wanted to at least push him to see if he screams or cries out. So Abaluhu Abasikra said, you can't do that. Yomru, Rabban Dakru, they're going to say about you, the Romans are going to say about you, that even their own leader, their own rabbi, they're pushing. So Paskele Baba, so they opened the door, they opened the gate at Nafak, and they allowed Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to leave the city to go meet Aspasinus Kesar. Kimat al-Hasim, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got to where Aspasinus was, so Amar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to Aspasinus, Shalom alech Malka, Shalom aleichem Melech, Shalom alech Malka, he said it twice. So Amalei Aspasinus said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Mechayev etrei ketaldi, Yerchayev misa twice. Chado delav Malka, no, because first of all, I'm not a king, v'kakarasili Malka, and you called me a Melech, so you're a married b'malchus by calling me a Melech. Visu imalka no adina my laws is the gabai. If I am a king, so where have you been until now? How come you didn't come in until now? Who's the story about one of the Hasidic rebbes that passed out on Yom Narayim by Hamelech when they said Hamelech? I forgot which rebbe it was. Probably a lot of rebbes. So they said, why are you screaming? Why are you passing out and saying Hamelech? Because he says imalka no. Because if I'm really a Melech, adina my laws is the gabai. Where have you been? You waited till Yom Narayim to come and to do tshuva. So where have you been this entire time? So that's what this Aspasinus Kesar said. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I'm not chayv misa. The kamatav malka. Now that which you tainer that you're not a melech, ivra malka at. The reality is you are a melech, and that's why I called you a malka. Do you love malka at? Because had you not been a melech, lamimsi Yerushalayim biyadach. Yerushalayim would never have been given over in your hands. Dechsiv, because the pasuk in Navi Yishayo says, v'alavonon ba'adir yipol ve'in adir el melech. The levonon will only fall in the hands of an adir. An adir means a melech. Tchsev v'haya adiro mimenu, and the adir is the melech that rules. Ve'in levanon el beis hamikdash, and levanon is a reference to the beis hamikdash. Nemar haratov azeh ve'halavanon. That's a reference to the beis hamikdash, which is malbin the avonos of Klal Yisrael. It whitens the averos of Klal Yisrael. That's why it's called levanon from a lashon of lavan. Udkamrit, and that which you said, imalka na ma'ilo kasis gavay adinna. That if I'm a king, where have I been until now? Priyone disvan lo shafkinam. That the Brionim didn't that we have among us wouldn't let me leave. So Amaleas, beside the sense of Yochanan and Zakkai, your answers are unacceptable that you couldn't come because of the Baryonim, and I'll give you a mashal why it's unacceptable. Ilu chavish al dvash, if there was a barrel of honey, vidarkon korachalei, and there was a snake that was wrapped around that barrel of honey, lo yishovin es chavish bishvil darkon, wouldn't they break the barrel because of that so that the snake will run away? So you should have torn down the walls of the city, burnt it down in order that the Baryonim would have to run away. So Ishtik, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not respond. He didn't say anything to Aspasinus Kesar. The Gemara is going to explain soon why he was quiet at this point. So Kariya le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, V'item Rav Yekiva, and some say that it was Rav Yekiva who said about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Meshim Chacham Machar V'daitam Yisakel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the Chachma from the Chachamim and makes them confused. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Chachma from Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai that he didn't know what to answer at that moment. Because he should have said to the Melech, that he doesn't have to break the barrel. There's another way. Shaklina tzvasa, you should take a stick of wood, v'shaklina le ledarko v'katlina le, and let the snake slither around the piece of wood so you can remove it, and then you can kill the snake, v'chavisa shavkina le, and then the barrel will be left alone, and you don't have to you don't have to burn down the walls of the city. So we were hoping that maybe we'd be able to overpower these baryonim, get them out of the city without breaking down the whole city, and then we'll come and make shalom with you. So while they were having this conversation, a shliach came from Rome, so Amarle, and he told us, Poseidonus, kum de misle kesar. You have to be olah legedula because kesar has died. And you've been elected as the new melech, so you are now the kesar. So you can't be just a general fighting this battle. You have bigger things to do now. He was wearing one of his shoes at the time. He wanted to put on his other shoe, lo ayil, but the other shoe wouldn't fit. So he wanted to take off the shoe that was already on because he didn't want to be walking around with one shoe. Lo nafak, but he couldn't get that shoe off. So Amar Aspasai said, my hi, what is going on over here? One of my feet swelled up and the other, what's going on? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, lo titzdair, don't worry about the fact that your feet are both swollen, that one is so swollen that you can't get the shoe off and the other one's so swollen you can't get the shoe on. Shmua tova asilach, you heard good news and that caused your bones to swell. Dechsev shmua tova tidashin etzem. Pasuk in Mishlei says that's exactly what's supposed to happen when you hear a shmua tova. So Aspasai says, alamai takante. So what should I do? How am I going to get my shoes? How am I going to look normal? So Laisi initial miyat v'daituk minei. You should find someone that you really don't like. Well, achluf kamach and have him walk in front of you. Tichsiv v'ruach necheya tiyabish gorem. That if you want your bones to wither or to get narrower, so you should get upset. So get someone that you really don't like to walk in front of you. You'll get upset. So avadachi. So he did that, and he had one of his enemies go in front of him. Ayil, and then his second shoe was able to go right on. So amleach. Poseidon said to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that was an impressive trick. If you are so wise that you figured out, you diagnosed my problem just like that. So how come he didn't come until now to make shalom with me? I mean, if you figured that out, Mistami, you could have figured something out to get rid of the Baryoni. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, Lo Amilach, didn't I tell you we couldn't come because of the Baryonim? Amalei, no, Nami Amilach. He said, yeah, but I responded to you. You should have burnt down the walls of the city. So Amalei, Poseidon said to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, but since I've become the Melech, Mezel Azilna, I have to go back to Rome because that's where I got a rule from. V'inishachrina mishadarna, and we're going to send some else to fight this war. But because we're getting along so nicely and you did such a nice favor for me, I'll give you one wish. You can ask anything that you want from me. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, I have three bakashas. Number one, tein li Yavne v'chachameha. That give me Yavne and the yeshiva of Yavne, that the chacham of Yavne, that you shouldn't destroy the Torah. All the people in Yavne were tamid chacham that sat in the Beis Medrash. They were all marbits a lot of Torah. And that's why he said Yavne v'chachameha. So he wanted to. He knew that Kol Zman, that a Kol Kol Yaakov, Ben Yoyada explains, it's ein yadayim idei Esav. So he was trying to tell him, I want to ensure that Kol Kol Yaakov continues, so that this campaign that you're on now is never going to be fully successful, because we're going to survive with Kol Kol Yaakov. Second thing I want is Shushultad Ram Gamliel. Don't kill the Mishpach of Ram Gamliel, the Nasi. We need some sort of Zecher to the Malchus based David to still be intact. And number three, meaning that there should be hopes for the future, that we do have a hope that the Malchus based David is going to return. This is a dangerous thing to say, to request, meaning even as this Golus is about to start and he's telling him that you're going to be under Roman rule, he says not for long, that the Jewish people are always going to remember that we have plans of returning. I was just learning with Rabbi Rasner yesterday. We have a short chavrus every day. We're learning one of Rav Reuven Margolios' Sfarim about the history of Torah Shebal Peh and the authorship of the Mishnayos. Fascinating sefer, very much more academic than Lumdish, I guess you would say. But Rav Shechta sometimes says, I'm not sure if Rav Reuven Margolios was in yeshiva, would he be Rosh Yeshiva or would he be teaching in Revel in the Judaic Studies graduate school? So Rav Reuven Margolios is a gon adir. But anyway, one of the things he suggests is that you'll notice Mashiach never appears in Mishnayos. He said the Mishnayos were written because the Nachrim were interested in seeing what the Torah Shebal Peh included and to see that we weren't staging some sort of rebellion against them using the Torah Shebal Peh. So they had to be very careful. So they didn't mention Mashiach. It's one of the Ikari Emunah. It doesn't get mentioned anywhere in the Mishnayos. It's pretty surprising. No, it's pretty stunning that it doesn't get mentioned anywhere in the Mishnayos. I mean, it's not nowhere in the Mishnayos. It's one place in the Mishnayos. Kol l'rabbis himos Mashiach. Kol yimei chayecha. So it's only very tangential. Very tangential. So, and the third thing is asvasa demasin le Rabbi Tzadok. I'd like a doctor to cure Rabbi Tzadok. So Karile Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said about in this pasuk v'tema Rabbi Akiva. And some say Rabbi Akiva said meishin chacham ocher v'daitim yisakel. That Kodesh Baruch Hu takes the chacham away from the chachamim, like he did from Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, because he didn't know what to ask for. You should have said, leave Yerushalayim alone this time. Don't destroy it. Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai thought, that maybe he's not going to give him. If he aims too high, he's not going. The request will not be honored. So and then you won't have anything to show for it. So he figured, better to ask for something small that I'll get. So what was the cure that they had for Rabbi Tzadok? One day they gave him Maya Depari. The first day they gave him water that was that they had soaked bran in. So Rabbi Tzadok was able to digest it. The water lemacher Maya Desibuka. The next day they soaked coarser bran in it and it had some flour mixed in it. Lemacher Maya Dekimcha. The next day it was water that had some actual flour mixed in it. Ad the Ravach Mei. So slowly they were giving him heavier and heavier foods until his stomach expanded. Porta. Little by little, because otherwise it would kill him if you try to give him regular food, like Nebuchadnezzar's stories right after the Holocaust when the Americans came in and they thought they were doing favors by giving these malnourished people chocolate bars, and it was killing them. So they had to do it very, very slowly. So Azul Shadri Titus HaRasha, as Poseidon sent Titus HaRasha to fight the battle against Yerushalayim, Vamar Elohim Tzur Chasayu, and they said that the enemy is coming against Klal Yisrael is going to say, where is their strong God that they turn to? So the Gemara Darshan Zet Titus HaRasha Shecher V'Gidev Klapi Maila. This is Titus HaRasha that was Mecharif U'Megadev against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ma Asa, what did he do? Tafa Zona B'Yadu, he took a Zona V'Nichlas Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim Mitzia Sefer Torah, and he rolled out his Sefer Torah under them V'Avra Le'Avera, and on the Sefer Torah he was over in Avera with the Zona V'Natal Sayev, and he took a sword V'Gidev as a Parochas, and he stabbed the Parochas V'Nasa Nes, and a miracle happened V'Yadam V'Vatzi Yotze, and the Parochas started to bleed because of Hargas Atzmo. He thought he had killed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachal Shneemar, Shana Tzarech B'Kerv Mu'adecha, Somo Osos Som Osos. So Abba Chanan says this pasuk, Mikamocha Chasin Ka, Mikamocha Chasin, V'Kashe Sha'at HaShomeh, Mi'utzu V'Gedu V'Sholos HaRasha V'Sholseik, that who's like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you hold yourself back, that you hear such Chir V'Giduf, and you don't do anything about it. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tan, Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tan, it says in the Torah, Mikamocha Be'il Ma'ashem, that we darsh in the pasuk, Mikamocha Be'ilmin, who is like you among the mute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu muted himself against such Chir V'Giduf. So what did Titus HaRasha do? Natal so prochas vaso k'min garnusni. He made a big basket out of the prochas. Vevi kol hakelim shebe mikdash. He brought all of the kelim in the mikdash. Veinichan behen. And he loaded them all into the Parochas. Voshifun b'sfina, he put them on a boat, Leiluch l'shtabech b'iro, to go and be praised in his city. Shenevar v'chein reisi v'sham kvurim uvom v'mkom kadosh, yalech v'yishtakhu b'ir asher kein osu. Al tikri kvurim el kvutzim, v'al tikri v'yishtakhu el v'yishtabchu. So the Pasuk is saying that the Rishon gather and come from the Makom HaMikdash in order to get praise in their city for what they did to the Beis HaMikdash. Ikadamri, others say they darshin the word kvurim as it's written, kvurim mamish, tafilu mil the metamron, even the things that are hidden, that are buried and hidden, igal yilahun, were revealed to them. So while he was on the boat, amar elav nachshol, there was a tremendous wave, shabayam litova, that threatened to sink the boat. So amar kumduna nisha lohem shalelu ein v'rasel b'mayim. Wow, it seems that the God of the Jewish people's strength is only through the water. But paro tava b'mayim, paro came and he drowned by the yamsuf. But sisra tava b'mayim, sisra came and nachal kishon. who was in the water. Afuah made a lice, now he's coming against me, the Toveni B'mayim, to drown me in the water. Im Gibaru, if God is, if their God is really strong, Yala li Abasha b'yasi mi milchama, let him come to the dry land and fight me. Yatza Baskal, Baskal came out from Shraim, Ramallah Rasha ben Rasha, and said to him, Rasha ben Benosha Esav Rasha, a descendant of Esav Rasha, Birya Kali Yeshli Ba'olami v'yitushma, I have a little tiny creature in the world that's called the Yitush. Am I called the Birya Kala? Why is it called a Birya Kala? Dema'alono isla umafkana lesla. It has the ability to consume food, but not to extract, not to get rid of any waste. Allah the Abasha Vitasi Imam Mulchama. Let's see you fight a Mulchama with that tiny little gnat. Allah the Abasha, he came to the dry land by Yitish Nikhlas Bukhotma. This gnat went into his nostril. Vinika Bramacha Shevashanma started pecking at his brain for 7 years. Yomachava Chada have a Kachalav Ababa Debay Nafla. One time he was passing by the blacksmith. Shama Kola Arizafta. He heard the banging. Ishtik and the gnat stopped banging on his brain. So Amr Ikatakanti says, oh, I have a cure. Kol Yom Maisa Nafchas. Every day he brought a blacksmith, a and they would bring in front of him. So the Nachri, Yav Le Abazuze, if it was a Nachri, they pay him for Zuz for his time. For a Jew, they would say, your payment is that you get to see me in such a condition. That worked for 30 days. But after that, he got used to it. The gnat got used to it and continued to peck away at his brain, even in the face of all of that. So Tanya, Amra Binchas Ben Aruva, Ani Yisi Ben Gedole Romi, I was among the Gedolei Romi when they were doing the autopsy, and when he died, they opened up his brain. Umatsubo kitzipor dror. They found that it was the size of a tzipor dror, mishkal shnei sloim, which is the weight of shnei sloim. By the way, the Gemara says sela b'mila, shtika b'shtayim. Mila b'sela, shtika b'shtayim. A word is worth a sela. Shtika is worth two sloim. This was two sloim weight tzipor dror. You should have kept your mouth shut. B'masnisa tana kugozel ben shana. And in the Brisa taught that it was the size of a gozel ben shana, mishkal shnei litrin, that weighed shnei litrin. Amar abayin naktina, and we have a Kabbalah, piv shal nechosha, said its beak was a copper, vitziparnav shal barzel, and its claws were made out of barzel. So kiava kamayis, when Titus was about to die, amar lu lakil lu gavra, he said, I want my body to be burned, l'vadri l'ketvi ashav yami, and I want my ashes spread over the seven seas. So lishkei alod yudai v'lukmei b'dina, because I don't want the God of the Jewish people to find me and make me stand din for what I have done during my lifetime. So Be'ez Hashem will continue with this Agadita Be'ez Hashem tomorrow with Unkelos Bar Kolonikus. Everyone have a wonderful evening.